And then our text, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Beloved congregation, sometimes, or should I say often, it's hard for us to make any sense out of our lives, isn't it? Have you never had that you say, I don't understand myself, where I am, how I got here? And perhaps you've tried to tell others the story of your life, and then it comes out kind of garbled. You don't really understand yourself much at all. Well, clearly that's the case with the woman in our text, last Lord's Day and today again. If you could have and if you would have asked this woman how her life had got to this very point, she probably would not have been able to tell you. She couldn't speak a word. But her actions tell, in a sense, the story, don't they? And amazingly, the Savior, Jesus, omniscient as he is, he tells her story for us. He kind of unveils it to us. In fact, you could say he tells two stories in one story. The story of the woman, but also the story of the Pharisee, Simon. Now we wish to listen particularly to the story of the woman this morning. And we will find that the story of this woman consists of four chapters. And we'll read, as it were, these four chapters as the Lord Jesus tells the story, by way of the theme, a great gospel. First of all, great sin. Secondly, great forgiveness. Third chapter, great love. And chapter 4, a great Savior. So a great gospel. First of all, great sin. Secondly, great forgiveness. Great love. And finally, a great Savior. First of all then, great sin. Jesus tells the story of two debtors who owed debts to a creditor. One of them owed 500 pence, or the Greek word is denarii, and the other owed the creditor 50 pence. And a pence is about a day's wage for a laborer, a day laborer. So some have suggested that the 500 pence would be the equivalent today of $50,000 or $60,000 in our economy. Now that is a hefty sum. And a day laborer who has to pay that back to the creditor is not going to be able to do that easily. Not if he would be taken to prison till he would pay. Because then he could not work to pay. Notice that the Lord Jesus, in telling this little story, speaks of great debt. That's important to notice, because some misunderstand the gospel of free grace by simply thinking, I don't need to worry about sin now. Because free grace means that God simply glosses over my sins. And I can pretend, and that's what I'll do. It's not there. You know that there are some persons, and maybe many, who like the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for that reason, because they think it gives them a reason, or rather an excuse, to continue in their sin. And they think that sin really doesn't matter because Jesus forgives it. And they love the story of Jesus. They love to hear how Jesus was approachable to this sinful woman. And they simply hold out hope for themselves that they can continue to live their life of sin as they have been doing, and in the end all will be well. Christ will receive them. Because they think sin is not a problem for the Lord Jesus. But notice that in this story, the Lord Jesus speaks quite differently. In our text, he says, her sins, which are many. Jesus doesn't gloss over her sins. He says it, her sins, which are many. Jesus knows her sin. Jesus knows our sins too. And Jesus does not gloss over our sins. He knows the greatness of our sins, and he knows it cannot be glossed over. You may know that Charles Spurgeon called this 500 pence debtor a 500 pence sinner, and he says the woman is that person. She is the 500 pence sinner. But he says, how many of those 500 pence sinners God has already saved? Rahab, the harlot, Manasseh, who made the children pass through the fire, and this woman too. Great sinners. He forgives a 500 pence sinner to show the greatness of his grace. But what the parable that Jesus tells in this account, what that parable brings out is that we are in debt to God. We owe God and we cannot repay him. But now don't think that God does not keep account. God knows the number of your and my sins exactly. Precisely. And he tells us about our sins throughout the scriptures. Why? In order that you and I might know our sins. And when a little later we may sit here at the table of the Lord, what does the Lord do there at his table? He shows us what our sins have cost the Savior. The bread is broken. The wine is poured, and they speak the language of our text. As we will see that bread broken, think back then. As you see that wine poured, then God, as it were, says to you and to me, sitting there, your sins, which are many. And the believer, he sees his sins. He sees his sins. And he repeats the words after the Savior. My sins, he says, which are many. Right? You want the truth? Or not? Truth in the inward parts. Isn't that the language that the woman has been speaking already in her tears, flooding with those tears the feet of Jesus? My sins, which are many. This is how you sit in church this morning. My sins are more than I can count. Day in, day out, heinous sins, hideous sins, horrible sins, many sins. Is this your story, my brother and sister? When we sang a few moments ago, was that your song? With the burden of transgression, heavy laden, overborne, humbled low, I make confession, for my folly now I mourn. The table is for you, woman. It is for mourners in Zion who say, yes, Lord, my sins, which are many. Or do you say, no, that's not me. 500 pence sinner, that's not me. I do have debt, I grant you that. But my debt is manageable. You want a number for my debt? Maybe 50 pence. A couple thousand dollars. I think I can scrape it together. Give me a little time. A little more righteous deeds. A little more piety. Congregation, if that's the language of your heart, then you have not yet learned what this woman learned. Her sins, which are many. That's chapter 1 of the story that Jesus tells about this woman. Great sin. Great debt. Chapter 1. But the story goes on in chapter 2. Great forgiveness, because the Lord Jesus says in his parable, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. He freely forgave them both. So whether 50 pence or 500 pence, the creditor canceled the debt. Gone. Forgiven. The creditor didn't say, you who owe me 50 pence, I forgive you. And you who owe me 500 pence, I'll take 50 pence of your debt of 500. No, he forgave them both freely. Think of that. Both were in trouble. Both were unable to pay. Somebody put it like this. He says, think of somebody who is stuck drowning 50 feet below the surface. And there is another man who is drowning 500 feet below the surface. The one is not better off than the other. They are both drowning. And it's no use for the man at 50 feet to think, I'm better off than the man at 500 feet. No, we have both sinned. All of us have sinned. Long and deep. Short and shallow. And none of us can pay. We are all drowning in the debt, as it were. And none of us can pay. But now the marvelous thing of the gospel that Jesus speaks about, and it was already in the Old Testament in Psalm 130, for instance, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That's the good news that anyone may hear in the gospel. Anyone. And what a music this must have been to the ears of this woman. As she listened along, as Jesus was telling this story to Simon, she must have nodded her face, swollen with tears, and agreed in her heart, yes, that's exactly my story. And I heard that this man, Jesus, receives sinners and eats with them. I heard him say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I said, rest from trying to pay my debts. Oh, that's what I need. Christ was telling her story. As Christ explains it in the verse of our text, her sins, which are many. And congregation, this story of the woman that Jesus tells is the story of every sinner saved by grace. You know, they might not be able to tell the story themselves, but when they hear the story, they agree. And they say, sometimes hard to believe, but that's exactly it. Music to the one, but how offensive to the other. Because this gospel was an offense to the Pharisee Simon. Simon said to himself, no way. If this means that this 500 pence sinner gets off free, I disagree with that. I won't have it. I will work. And she too must work. If both we die even. I cannot live by this kind of a standard of the Lord Jesus. And maybe here too, somebody thinks like Simon the Pharisee, and you think to yourself, are you telling us now this morning that a drug addict of AIDS who repents of his sin and who turns to Christ believingly, and if that man dies later today or tomorrow, that man will go to heaven? And I, who've tried to do my best here in life, if I died, I would go to hell. I just can't accept that. Congregation, it is an offense. It is an offense to the natural man. But it is the gospel of great forgiveness. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ say that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you? Matthew 21, verse 31. That's the gospel of great sin. That was the first chapter. And of great forgiveness. That was the second chapter. And then we get the third chapter of great love. Jesus says to Simon, tell me therefore which of them will love him most. And it seems Simon reluctantly answered the Lord Jesus. And he says, and I quote, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. Can't you hear the begrudging voice here? Oh, Simon, are you really beginning to see your problem? You have little love. And it is because you have little forgiveness. Actually, when it comes down to it, you have no forgiveness at all, Simon. You know, congregation, Jesus teaches us here that forgiveness is the spring of love in the soul. If you are forgiven, you will love. And if you are not forgiven, you will not love. And if you find yourself so empty of love, you need to go back to the source of forgiveness and drink deeply there. And then you will find love flowing in return. Maybe there are some sitting in church this morning and they sense a lack of love. And you say, I felt it in the past. I remember those days. I can even say at times there was a river of love in my life. I think by now it's no more than a trickle. Maybe it even dried up altogether. Well, Christ tells you the secret here this morning. Forgiveness is the fuel of love. Love for Christ, that is. Notice that this woman has love for Christ. She doesn't love the disciples as such. She doesn't love the gifts of Christ. She loves Him. She loves the divine creditor who has cancelled her debt. And she shows that in the love of her heart, in her tears, in her kisses, in the bottle of ointment. Love for Christ. Much love for Christ. She loves greatly. That's what Jesus says himself. He says, she loved much. Now, if you had asked this woman, do you love Christ? She might not have been able to give the answer, being so overwhelmed in her soul. But Christ tells her story. He makes her case plain. He tells her the third chapter in her story. And what is it? It's much love for Christ. That's the third chapter in the story of a saved sinner. Great love. Is it also the story, chapter 3, of your life? Can you say it? Much love for Christ. Then when a little later you'll be here at the table, you will focus on Christ. On Christ. And you'll find your heart going out to Christ for such a deliverance. That's chapter 3. And there is one more chapter. I will mention that chapter only briefly now. It's the chapter of a great Savior. That's where this woman ends. With her great sin, her many sins, she ended up at the feet of this great Savior. To whom else could she go? And she must have said to herself, let me disappear into the puddle of tears, if but this Savior may be magnified. He must increase, I must decrease. He is worthy of all the alabaster love in the world. He's the chief among 10,000. No other creditor forgave a debt like mine. No other creditor from heaven has ever come, and said, your debt is cancelled. No other debtor like me could be saved except through this creditor who came from heaven to become a debtor for me and to pay my debt and to pay it forever. There is none like this Savior in all the world. I have nothing to pay. I have nothing. I'll never have anything to pay. But he paid it. How? With his broken body and his shed blood. He is my all in all. Great sin. Yes. Great forgiveness. Yes. Great love. Yes. But above all, a great Savior. Amen. Read to you the next verse after our text. And I will read it at the table now and also following. These words, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. There is no time to read all the passages in the scriptures that speak of it. But maybe today you will read Psalm 32. 1 John chapter 1. You can read all of Scripture. There you have the gospel. Thy sins are forgiven. The thing that I would like to emphasize at the table now is that that's a personal forgiveness. Notice that thy is the singular, thy sins. It is as the Lord does it at the table, and he says the bread which we break for all your sins, but he also says it personally, take, eat, remember. And now he says to you, thy sins are forgiven you. How? As the bread was broken before your eyes, as the wine was poured out before your eyes, the cross, Jesus is here on the way to the cross, and on that basis, thy sins are forgiven. Can you think of that? The sins in which you were conceived and born. Sins of youth. Sins of teen years, 20s, the middle years. Sins of old age. Sins against God and your neighbor, your wife, your husband, your children, thy sins forgiven. This is God's personal word to you. And I say to you, take the personal word home. Believe it. Be active with it. Live out of it. Brothers and sisters, verse 48 again. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. I said at the previous table, that's a personal forgiveness. At this table, I say, it's a public forgiveness. Because the Lord Jesus spoke these words in public, not in private. In the presence of Simon the Pharisee, he was to hear it. Whatever you think, Simon, whatever you say, Simon, her sins, thy sins, he says to her, are forgiven. Satan, do you hear this? And that's how the Lord administers his grace also at his table congregation. This is in public. Everyone may hear it. And what God says is, thy sins publicly are forgiven. And it's illustrated clearly in the table of the Lord that as the bread was broken before your eyes, and the wine poured, so I had my body broken for your sins. My blood shed for your sins. And I see no more sins in Jacob, and no more transgression in Israel. Thy sins publicly, personally. When you feel assaulted, perhaps at the moment, say to Satan, Jesus just said it. Others may assault you. He said, I came in my need. You heard him say it. A public declaration. Take this home with you. Now and all the time to come. Once more, verse 48. And I'll just remain seated if I may. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. It's a personal forgiveness. It's a public forgiveness. it's also a permanent forgiveness. Maybe I should write, it's a personal forgiveness. It's a public forgiveness. It's a permanent forgiveness. You know, the verb that the Lord Jesus uses can be translated, thy sins are forgiven. Can also be translated, thy sins have been forgiven. And the one is not without the other. You think of that. Thy sins have been forgiven in the past, are forgiven in the present, and shall be forgiven in the future. It's amazing. It's so amazing. He shed his blood on Calvary. There he accomplished it. And from there he applies it. Even here before Calvary, on the basis of his blood to be shed at Calvary. And that's how he comes. And he covers the past sins. And today the sins go to Jesus. Confess your sins. He is so ready to forgive. And it's permanently forgiven. The marvel of it, we can hardly even think of a congregation that when a child of God, a sinner saved by grace, a forgiven sinner, comes before the throne of God, breathes his very last, comes before God as a forgiven sinner. Washed in the blood, white. And there God will do it publicly. And he'll confirm it in your heart so personally. Thy sins are forgiven. Amen.